Putting you in a weekend kind of mood as we start the conversation for this Aloha Friday. Good morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Hello there, Chris Radical.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Wondering if the minimum wage is a livable wage.
That's been a very big question that we've been asking for a very long time, yeah. Despite what happened in the legislature last year. We're going to talk about that now. Now, just for a moment, think about what salary you'd need to cover just the basics of your life. Now, think about what would happen if you were making minimum wage. On the mainland, many low-income workers have been doing more than thinking about what they make and what they need to cover the basics. The Fight for 15 movement has been steadily growing, with a victory this week in Los Angeles. By 2020, the minimum wage there will be $15 an hour. Meanwhile, in Hawaii, our minimum wage is set to grow to $10.10 by the year 2018. The editor of Disappeared News says even if that were to take effect today, it would still leave us behind. Larry Geller joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Last year, when we were having a lot of conversation about hiking the minimum wage, and there was a lot of dickering about how much, and some of it was just a matter of cents, not really dollars. And then everyone thought that there was this victory that had been had, and granted there was because it passed. But at 10-10, you're saying that even if we had it now, that just having something isn't good enough. Why?
No, it's not good enough anywhere. The federal minimum wage in 1968 was $10.77 in 2013 dollars. That's the figures that we were looking at last year when the bill was in the legislature to increase the minimum wage to 10-10 in 2018. So come 2018, we're still not going to be equal to where people were in 1968.
In terms of buying power of what those dollars can do.
Well, the buying power is actually related, but look, we have to look at our situation in Hawaii. The minimum wage clearly is related to poverty, related to housing questions, and so forth. Just to look and say, wow, we got this tremendous increase in the minimum wage, doesn't tell us that that increase was totally inadequate. When Governor Abercrombie signed SB 2609 into law, it became Act 82, he said, this legislation will raise Hawaii's minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10 an hour, providing our lowest paid workers with economic stability and security they deserve. It does no such thing. First of all, it's a stepped increase. We're talking this year of $7.75. Meanwhile, on the mainland, unbeknownst to us because our media doesn't cover it, there has been a long and hard-fought movement all across the country, in many, many cities.
But especially on the West Coast. We've seen it in Seattle. We've seen it in San Francisco. This week in Los Angeles. And the idea of moving closer and closer to $15 an hour, not $10 an hour. And you're only talking about a two-year difference. So by the time 2020 comes in L.A., they'll be at $15 an hour, where we will just have been at 10-10 for a couple of years.
Sure. And some employers in Seattle, which is an unusual kind of place, have already moved to 15. But look at what even 15 would mean in Hawaii. Appleseed has tweeted quite a bit on this. They have some, I recommend people who are on Twitter follow them. A full-time worker needs $24 an hour to afford a studio at fair market rate in Honolulu. Honolulu's mean renter wage is $15 and $31.64. $31.64 per hour is needed to afford a two-bedroom apartment. So if you need $31.64, the 10-10, yeah, it helps, sure, but it's not adequate. It just doesn't do the job for us, and it'll keep people in poverty. And homelessness is only the tip of the iceberg. It's what we can see on our streets, but we've ignored that for a decade, and here we are now, unable to afford a wage that'll keep us in our homes.
There was considerable pushback to the idea of even raising the minimum wage to 10-10. Many businesses saying, I can't afford this. I'm going to have to cut staff. That the effects of having a minimum wage that is at 10-10 or above is going to mean that we're going to have more people who aren't employed. Do you buy that?
No, and it doesn't hold up. As it turns out, this was in testimony given at the legislature last year, increasing the minimum wage has resulted generally in an increase in business. In Seattle, for example, with the $15 on the horizon, the number of restaurant license applications has increased. So jobs do not decrease. Our chamber, I think it was our Chamber of Commerce, testified that this is going to hurt in that way. It doesn't happen elsewhere, and it shouldn't happen here.
And UHERO was countering some of that with some of their
Research. People have more spending money. They could go out to a restaurant if they have that extra money for the same work.
But meanwhile, this year, Ledge has come and gone, and after last year's, the feeling of victory of having the minimum wage increase, nothing happened this year. You're saying that as we move into this time, that really this is not only not going to make a difference, but that it's going to be detrimental. So what do we do from this point on, Larry, if this is not going to make a really big difference in the lives of the people it was supposed to help?
I think we need first to talk about it, as thanks to you we're doing right now. We need to fill in the gap that has been around both poverty and wages in Hawaii. The newspaper hasn't covered the movement towards an increased wage. On April 15th, when there were nationwide rallies and strikes and so forth, they did cover that one as though it was an isolated incident. But it's been going on continually.
But even last year, when a lot of the fast food restaurant employees were out there fighting and having rallies, nothing was happening here. And when we talked to Eric Gill about that at Unite Here, he just said, well, if the turnover is really high at these restaurants, it's really not time for them to solidify. And really nothing was happening in Hawaii as it was happening in other places around the country.
That's true. And we need to first, I think, we need to first work on the awareness. We need to understand where we are, that, passing sit-lay ordinances is not going to solve poverty. We need to do something. We need to stop working, chewing around the edges of it. We need to take a bite out of the problem right in the middle. We're actually not working on what we need to work on. So first awareness, and then people getting together and demanding of our government at the state and local level, at the city level, that we need to work not just on the living wage, certainly on having a living wage. People are talking now about $25 as a living wage. But, as I mentioned before, $31.64 an hour to afford a two-bedroom apartment. How many full-time jobs can one person work or two people work? So we need to provide an environment in Hawaii and in Honolulu where people can enjoy living here. Enjoy the sun and the surf and going out. That means that they need to be paid a living wage, and reasonable cost housing has to be available to them.
And that's a question that a lot of people are asking who aren't even making minimum wage, who are making far more than that. We're going to talk about that a little later in the show, about whether or not some folks can stay in Hawaii, that perennial question. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Larry Geller is the editor of Disappeared News.